too much.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
See, when you're my size, you can get up those steps. When you're little and dainty, you have problems. So that's good. Let's just pray together. Father, we've just sung about your amazing grace to us. And there will be lines that we've been blessed with and things that we've already felt you stirring within our hearts and beings. So we just pray that as we look at what this weekend will hold, that there will be something that will captivate our hearts and our thoughts, and that your grace will just be really evident in everything that happens. Amen. If I'm here, is that annoying? I don't mean here personally, I mean on this level. I think I might do this tonight because I'm just introducing to you. That's okay, it can go down there. I'm just introducing the theme to you. And then if it's a bit hard for you to see me, I'll move that tomorrow. Is that okay? Jan, you're wonderful. Yes. Is that okay? Because I just think back there I might be a little bit far away and I feel a bit awful because that's a beautiful setup. And all the grace tokens, thank you. All the grace tokens that we have all around us. So Jan spoke to me and said to me, I'd like you to come and share with the women who I love, which she does. And the theme is grace, unashamedly, unreservedly. There's some screens that should be coming up. Beautiful. Oh, no, next one. Lovely. And so for me, I had to think, how am I going to make sense of grace and what we need to hear? Because who out of all of you has read a book on grace or with grace in the title? Yeah? So I'm desperately trying to think of something new, and God very clearly said, it doesn't have to be new. You just have to listen to me and find what it is that the folk need to hear. So immediately, and I don't use those terms glibly, but immediately I knew what I needed to speak to was a theme called Making Sense of Grace. Making sense of grace. That's it. We have five senses, and it's really important that we use all of them. And the older I get, I know I look young. Don't feel it. The older I get, the more I'm aware that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Someone once said that some are a little bit more scary than others. But we are. We're so, so different. Doesn't matter who you've come with, whether you come with relatives or friends from church or people that aren't friends. You know, they're not friends yet. You've never met them. And yet by the end of this weekend, you'll go, do you know what? You're my buddy, and we'll be swapping addresses and getting on Facebook and going on holidays together and all of that. We are so, so different. And the only person who really knows what makes us tick is God. And so there are ways in which he speaks to us that he doesn't speak to anybody else. And that's why he makes us as complex as he does. There are things that you see, there are things that you hear, there are things that you are aware of that are a blessing to you that everyone else would go, you are? And yet you know it's God. So that's where I was coming from, and that was exciting for me. I lived in Australia for 6 years, big mistake, because I've missed it ever since. And when Jan picked me up at the airport the other night, I just felt like I'd come home. And I went into an apartment that was very like the place that we'd lived in Melbourne, and I went to bed and I slept for 7 hours. Would have slept longer. It was just like coming home. And it was just special. And there aren't a lot of things. I can say, how many of you are British? Don't listen, right? Because there are... I learned that there are not a lot of things that the Brits do well, okay? We do royal family and babies like nobody else. Pomp and circuit, there are lots of things we do well, but it seems to be when you've lived here, the Aussies always manage to do it a little bit better, don't they? And when it comes to sport, you see, we can only do like cycling and horse riding. That's it. And you can do everything. And I don't think we've even got a silver medal in the Winter Olympics, and you have, because you're wonderful. But I have to say that this year, because God knew I was coming here, he gave us better fireworks at New Year. No, I'm sorry. You are normally, and particularly Sydney, because you've got that bridge built especially for the fireworks, right? You are normally infinitely better, and you kick off the world, don't you? Well, this year, let me tell you, we did better. We did better. New Year 2013, 50,000 partygoers experienced something new. for the world's first multi-sensory firework display. Here's a picture of them. There were clouds of apple, cherry, and strawberry mist. There was peach snow. There were thousands of bubbles filled with orange smoke. There were 40,000 bigs of edible banana confetti. Hello. And it was all to halal and kosher standards. Honest. I know. Hello. Beat that. So here's a picture of the people reveling. Honestly, it was madness. For the first time ever, people saw it and they heard it and they smelt it and they tasted it and they sensed everything about it. And the guys who put it together, here they are in very flamboyant shirts. Say nothing. They did the fireworks. They can wear what they like. Our ambition is simple. Flavored fireworks and the greatest number of people in human history having a simultaneous multi-sensory experience. Ladies, that's this weekend, okay? And gentlemen, we are going to have a simultaneous multi-sensory experience of God. I promise you. This is what Ignatius said, and this is what we have to do this weekend. Apply your senses now. I know you're tired. I'm not going to keep you too long, but stay with me. Apply your senses, everything you are now, to what we're going to look at. And when we get into the Bible, particularly tomorrow, I need you to have your Bibles with you. SPNS have some lovely Bibles if you forgot to bring yours. I quite fancy the little green one I've seen, but that's okay. So when we get into the stories, when we get into the Gospels and walk through them tomorrow, smell the sea. Hear the lap of the water along the shore. See the crowd, feel the sun, the hunger in your stomach, taste the salt, and touch the hem of his garment, right? You need to enter in right now. From the very beginning of conference, the minute you signed up, you signed in, okay? So even if your arm was firmly twisted, if it's your 15th conference and you really couldn't be bothered, but you couldn't be bothered, whatever it is that's brought you here today, when you signed that form, you signed in. So you need to enter now with everything that you are, because you need to be prepared to receive and to reflect and to respond to what God wants to say to you. And we're all different. So some of you here may be in a really good spiritual place, and it might be a week of reflection, a weekend, might feel like a week if I go on too long, a time of reflection when you're just aware of God just affirming you. It may be that somebody here has come absolutely empty and you just need to receive from God. Well, you will. And it may be that in some way there needs to be a response with what God says and with where you are and with where he wants you to be. Yeah, tiny, tiny little shift of grace in your life, just helping you to be who he wants you to be. What does grace mean to you? Think for a moment and then be very brave. And a few of you, just tell me, what does grace mean to you? Someone over here. Yeah, undeserved. Undeserved gift, that's beautiful. Out loud? Endless love. Acceptance. What does grace mean? Passionate caring. Undeserved forgiveness. That undeserved comes again, doesn't it? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve, yeah? Grace.
Unending love.
Yeah. His presence. Grace. Well done. I knew we'd get there. Here it is. We've all learnt those, haven't we? What about here? The women of intelligence. Not that these aren't. Grace. What does grace mean to us?
I don't
Yeah, that's a good, that's so Aussie. Don't have to do a thing. Yeah? There can be a million words, and this was my dilemma when I read, I've never read so many grace books in my life, I was getting quite ungracious. Honestly. And then you sort of think, actually, wouldn't it be a good idea to talk to the real author rather than these authors? And yeah. But this was another thing that I found. Great resource available to encounter evil. Bit teenage, but it'll do, won't it? So many gifts that God pours into our lives, grace, in order to be the person that he wants us to be. John Stott, beautiful Christian man. Grace is God loving, God stooping, God coming to the rescue, God giving himself generously in and through Christ. That's something we need to tap onto right at the beginning. It's a Trinitarian approach to our life, which is why God can touch us in whatever space he needs to. So it's God the Father, through Jesus the Son, and by the presence and the awareness of the Holy Spirit. That's perhaps how we sense grace, but that's because it's God's gift in Jesus, and we read that in so many places in the Scripture. I'm sure many of you are aware of this, but this was something new to me. And once I picked it up, I was so excited. That when Paul writes in his letters, cue for the Bibles, on the laps, yeah, not just they're here, just get them out, if you would, please. Cue for the Bibles. If you haven't brought them, please bring them tomorrow, because I've really tried to make sure that everything that I'm saying is grounded in God's Word. So we will be churning through together and sharing in the Word. Every time Paul writes a letter, Paul picks up the letters. When you've got your Gospels and the Acts of the church, then you start Paul's letters. And he writes a lot of them until they have names of people other than Timothy, because those are generally written by other people. But even so, it still holds true that every time he writes, he introduces himself by saying, grace and peace to you. That's the thing he really needs to share. So that's what we share this weekend. God's grace and God's peace. Grace may be for where we are and peace for who we are. So know now the presence of God. So whenever Paul wrote to any church, he said, grace and peace to you, at the beginning of every one of the letters. And at the end of every letter, as he's going, he leaves them a different grace message every time. I thought this was wonderful. So we're going to be looking at these. There's a phrase to do with computers that's in the UK, we call it Gilgo, which is garbage in, garbage out. So whatever comes out is only because of what you've fed in. So if your computer, I don't know if that terrible program reached you, one that says, computer says no, you know, it's not me, the computer's not working. No, the computer's working, you're not working. But if we put the bad stuff in, it's going to be bad stuff that comes out. But this is a whole change to that. Because in this essence, it's Gilgo, grace in and grace out. We're going to fill ourselves with the grace of God and we're going to pass that out. Here are the first seven letters that I've gone Australian already. The first seven letters that Paul has written. Could you have a little look at the beginning? Maybe after one or two, you'll take my word for it that basically it's very similar. So the beginning, Romans 1 verse 7, Corinthians 1, so on. In those places, it's a very similar line. It's just an introduction. It's a little bit like an into the church. But the blessings at the end are all different. Sometimes just a little bit, sometimes quite a bit. So I need seven women who are up for it. We're going to go through this together. I want you to share those verses out loud. And we don't need those pauses in between when you don't want you nudging somebody. We need you up and benedicting grace over us. Okay, there are going to be, I think, 13 altogether. 13 women out of this amount. If there are a few of you that want to stand and share, then do. If you need to just sit and be blessed with his grace, then do that today. So I want you to share the benedictions, the Romans 16:20, 1 Corinthians 16:23, so on. So if I stop talking for a minute, which will take a bit of doing, can I just give you time to find out of those seven the benediction that you love? Yeah? Does that make sense? So if you can just check through those seven verses in bold on the right, find the benediction, and in just a moment we'll share those, and then we'll shift on to the other letters, because I want you to be involved in this. Yeah? I need seven women ready to share those benedictions, and there'll be a few more. This is Paul's benediction to the Romans. Somebody, on your feet, pour out grace. Bless you. And again at the front. Let's hear it twice. Isn't that beautiful? You see the picture that Paul puts out there about this sense of grace and the sense of peace needing to come to our spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 23. Did someone else want to share that? Okay, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Beautiful. Can you stay there for a moment? How many of you have heard this on a Sunday at church? Yeah, say it to us again. A beautiful, beautiful benediction.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's how it works. The grace of Jesus through the love of God by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's how grace makes its way into our hearts and lives. Galatians. Isn't that beautiful? And sisters. Isn't that beautiful, though? Can you say that to us again?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit.
Yeah. Now, why? Why with your spirit? Why with your spirit? For me, that's a lovely message for somebody. May the grace of Jesus be with your spirit. It's how he speaks and impacts. Ephesians 6:23. Beautiful. In the middle. Yeah, amen. And again.
Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Isn't that beautiful? I thought that was our verse. Grace to all who love the Lord with an undying love. Continued grace. Where was that? Ephesians? Ephesians. Philippians 4:23. Oh, two ladies up. Go.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Yeah. And again. Yeah, amen. And we're up to Colossians, are we? Yeah? Somebody, Colossians 4:18.
Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Yeah. Listen to that, whoever needs to hear it. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Paul is saying, in this situation, when I'm chained and I'm bound and I don't know freedom, grace to you. Because that's what I'm experiencing. This chain in God is nothing when I've got his grace. We're going to shift to the next few letters. Are you excited by this? Because this for me was a really lovely starting point. We're going through. There's only another, I think I did six on this page, yeah. Thessalonians 1 and 2, Timothy, Titus and Philemon. So there are another six benedictions. If I give you a moment just to look, find the benediction that speaks to you. Okay, didn't give you long, but time is running. And you can do this anytime you like on your own, can't you? You know, you'll be sitting 1 week, in case there's a meeting that might not be floating your boat, you can just be thinking, I'm just going to check the benedictions from Paul. I can say that because I had to listen to my husband for 25 years, you know? But it's just one of those lovely things that you just store and you think, what would Paul be saying to this church this time? Six ladies ready and waiting. 1 Thessalonians 5:28.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be
with you. Yeah, amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:18.
The incredible grace of our Master Jesus Christ be with all of you.
Yeah, incredible grace. with all of you. 1 Timothy. Yeah, the Lord be with your spirit and his grace. 2 Timothy. Beautiful. Titus. Yeah, and Philemon. Sarah Jane. Hello. We worked on the same floor for a year, and here you are. Say that to us again in a big voice. Yeah. What I want to do is to make sure that no one misses the grace this weekend. It's a screen with a scripture verse on for us. Yeah. My grace is sufficient for you. I had thought that we could sit for a while in groups and just find the grace verses. And I thought, actually, you can do that on your own at some point. Over this weekend, mark the verses every time. You'll have lots of highlighting. But I just felt that those benedictions would speak to us because we need to know this weekend that God's grace is going to be enough. Let me share one verse with you, actually sort of written out, because you've been saved by his grace. He did this so that for all future time he could show the riches of his grace by being kind to us. I love that. Use all the big words you like to describe God, but I love the fact that he's kind to us. Yeah? Sometimes that's what we need to hear. And this weekend particularly, a God that's kind to us. I mean that you've been saved by grace through believing. You didn't save yourself. It was a gift from God to save us, to keep us, and to enable us. And I need us to enter in. This is where the screen comes. Yeah. See to it that nobody misses the grace of God. That's why over these next few sessions, and I hope I'm so excited that you're thinking this will be good, because if not, I'll have to do this all again. Five senses. I did a family weekend just 2 weekends ago, and I revisited the Gary Chapman book, The Five Love Languages. Have you read this book? It's fabulous. It's quite old now. It started out for couples, and then it moved into a men's edition, and then kids and teenagers and all that. It's a fabulous book. If you haven't got it in your library, then do get a copy at some point. Five love languages. And it reminded me of this, that the five love languages are words of affirmation, which is about, it talks, Gary Chapman says that everybody has a love tank that needs to be full. And he says that you need to be speaking the right dialect. Okay, this works better if you live in England, where if you live up north, you've got no idea what people down the south are saying. But he says it's not sort of any expression of love. It needs to be an expression that speaks your dialect. So some people need to hear the words that they have done well. I don't think in my life my father has told me I've done anything well. Now that's okay, because that's him, and I sort of get it. It's a shame, because I think he misses out, because he then moved to the core I was at and spent the whole time telling everybody how wonderful I was. Never told me, because he was a generation that didn't. Now, I never told my boys. I then did a love test with them, find out words of affirmation is top of the list. I'm being such a terrible mother because I'm doing all the other things. But do you know what? I text them all the time. Because I've actually grown up, and it's worse because I'm encouraging of everybody. Isn't that bizarre? And yet with your own boys, you don't want to make them too cocky, do you? So whenever, like, Ed's just moved back from studied music at uni and he's taking the band at the core, and I'll text him in the meeting, because it's really annoying when you're the officer and someone... No, I don't. And I'll just text him and say, you are wonderful, so is God. That sort of stuff. Some people need to hear words of affirmation, and that's really important. Some people need quality time. This is the thing that I do. You know, I spend lots of time with people. That's important to me. And what I can do is make my husband spend time with me when it's not his love language. So actually, I'm telling him how much I love him, and he's just with me seeing some girly movie thinking it's wonderful. You know? So it's what Gary Chapman is saying is there are different ways that we touch different people's spirits. And if you hear a lot of language but it's not one you understand, then it doesn't actually help you to feel any better. Five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, simple gifts. This isn't a Pandora bracelet necessarily, but if you know, it's not that sort of big stuff. It's just a gentle gift. You go out with your friend, let me shout you a coffee. Or someone buys something really lovely and simple. I saw this and I thought of you. And with your children, you know when they make you that stuff? I've still got flower Christmas decorations painted gold that I hang around the back because I don't really want people to see them, you know? Simple gifts that are given to each other. Acts of service is really interesting. My husband, now it wasn't until I did this I realized I have a beautiful husband and he does things for me and I sort of think we're a team, you're just doing it. Whereas for him, he's an older generation for whom it's a real thought process to be loving and to do, especially the household stuff. Every morning he brings me a cup of tea and I think the kettle was on, you made me a cup of tea. Whereas he is saying, I love you. So I've actually got up and I've made you a cup. I didn't really want one, but I've made you a cup of tea. But then he spoils it. Sorry about this. You never want one man in the group, do you? He spoils it by saying things like, do you know what? I've emptied the dishwasher for you. Don't say the for you. But it acts of service. You think of the people you know who do lovely things. They might never say they love you, they may never put their arms around you, but they get things done, particularly in our churches. They're the people who are at the every end of the meeting. They're clearing up, putting chairs out, doing all those lovely things, and that's important. And then the last love language, which is physical touch, which is really important. Really important. It's not intimate touch. It's just shaking hands. It's hugging. How many of you, when you turned up today, didn't go, ah, and just squeeze people? And you might not be that sort of person normally, but somehow you just wanted to tell people that you loved them, didn't you? And just do that. So are you with me? They're the five love languages. And I thought to myself how really they tap into what I'm wanting us to grasp hold of right at the beginning. Because if I sort of put it out there at the beginning, it'll make sense as we go through over the weekend. For children, there's a book. I did say there's books for different sort of people and so on. With words, that's the way in which God's going to speak to us. That's going to be the sound of grace. With quality time, that's going to be the things that we just take time to stop and think about and look at and see that we might not have seen before. Yeah, there was a kookaburra on a fence. I saw him, right? I ran out with my kids. You see them all the time, don't you? I haven't seen one for 10 years. I went out with my phone. I'm not very good with my phone. He's about this big. So I'm going to go back to England and say to everyone, that dot, that's a kookaburra, right? Could be anything. That's what we're going to look at. The sign, the sound and the sight, gifts. You know, the smell, something that somebody has concocted and put together and brought to you. How many kids made you a revolting drink and you drank it? Truly, that's lovely, darling. What's in it? I don't know. Everything that was in the cupboard. That's great. I'll only have a little bit and I'll save some for Daddy, shall I? Service. That's the way in which we touch. We reach out to one another. And the last one, I think, is touch. Yeah, allowing God to touch us in the person of Jesus. In the person of Jesus, where we'll be really focusing tomorrow. Tomorrow we're looking through all the Gospels and seeing how all these things relate together. In the person of Jesus is the only time that you see all the love languages just put together. He just got it right every time. He knew when to say something and what to say. He knew when to show people and what to show them. He knew when to touch people, when not to touch people, when to listen to people, when to sit with people. He just got it right because he's God. And God's word says to us, may the grace of Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit just indwell in everything that you do this weekend. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know this very old chorus. Sing it with me. And as we do, I'm going to slide down. The girls will come up. We're going to sing this unaccompanied because we are cool. But then you'll just lead us out today. But prepare your hearts now for what God is going to do. And focus your whole being on Him this weekend. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.